The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Acts 1. Lord, we thank you. You give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what you have for us today. Amen. Fresh bread. Acts 1:4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked the Lord, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel at this time? And he said to you, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus knew they needed power, and he literally commanded them, do not leave here until after you've received this power. Then, when you've received the power of the Holy Spirit, I want you to be my witnesses. Now listen to what he didn't say. He didn't say, I want y'all to come to witnessing classes on Tuesday because Wednesday night's visitation. And we're going to go out and knock on doors and we're going to ask people, if you died today, would you be with the Lord in heaven? That's not what he's talking about. Nothing wrong with going witnessing. But what he called us was to be. Everybody say, I am a human being, not a human doing. What I be is more important than what I do. I know that's not correct grammar, but it's good theology. And Jesus was saying, I'm going to send the power of the Holy Spirit on you to be. It's going to transform you. You were this way. I like what Mary in The Chosen said. Nicodemus comes back to her after she's free from demons. He thinks he's got something to do with it. He's the Pharisee that came to her in the red quarter. If you never watched The Chosen, you need to watch it. He says, Mary, I don't understand what happened. She said, I'm not sure that I know what happened either, but I know this. And how many of you have heard me quote this? Because you know I love it. It ministers to me every time. She said, I don't know that I can explain it myself, but I do know this. I was one way, and now I'm totally different. And what happened in between was him. If we're going to experience him, referring to Jesus, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not coming out of there until he's ready to come back and get us. If we're going to experience him, we're going to experience him through the Holy Spirit. If you're going to live a supernatural life, you're going to have to do it with God's supernatural power. And that requires the Holy Spirit. He commanded them, you're not to leave. You're not ready. You're not. I don't care how much theology you've went through. I don't care what you know about the Gospels. I don't care if you can quote it chapter and verse. Jesus said to them, and I take it as a commandment to us today, too, church, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're not fully equipped. Now, I realize that not everybody in the body of Christ would agree with that statement. But they're basing that on church tradition, and I'm basing it on the Word of God. Because I learned everything at the theology school of the crude oil refinery and the theology school of the upper room behind our church we went to when I got saved and born again and filled with the Holy Spirit at the crude oil refinery. And within 8 months, I devoured the Word of God from cover to cover. And then, man, I'm reading everything and I'm going to every revival. And I'm hungry. And God had a work for me to do. Within 2 years of being born again, I became a pastor. And I was young then. My hair was brown. God had to pour a lot into this hard head in a short time. And there was no way that I was ever going to be able to be the person he wanted me to be without that baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because I didn't come up in a church that taught about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I came up in a different kind of church that didn't teach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If they believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they just never mentioned it. They mentioned the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but they never talked about the Holy Spirit. They never talked about him as a person. In John's gospel in the 16th chapter, when Jesus begins to refer to the Holy Spirit, he calls him he every time, he. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears. He will show you things to come. Some of y'all need to practice that at home. The devil starts messing with your mind. You start feeling sad. You go, whatever it sounds like coming out of you, I don't care. I couldn't care less if you bray like a mule when you're in. Don't do it at church. You're not called to be weird. I don't think animal sounds is really part of the vocabulary you need. There's plenty of languages, tongues of men and angels that you can manifest. You don't need to bark like a dog. Amen. But you do need to let go. There's one thing I've never seen in my life, and I've only been walking with the Lord for about 30 years, but I have not seen this. Have you ever seen a really reserved, dignified person who seemed to be really all about, you know, keeping their, you know, and yet they're just literally oozing with the Holy Spirit? I have not seen that. The people that I've been around that are just oozing with the Holy Spirit, overflowing with the Holy Spirit, they had to let go of all that. We're not all the same. I mean, there are people that they'll run unless you tell them not to. You know? And then there are people that if you want them to run, you're going to have to get the hot shot out. And you're going to have to hold their hand while you run with them because it just ain't in their nature at all. And I get that. I get that. I guarantee you I get that. You see me bold because you see me anointed. When the anointing for boldness is not resting upon me, I'm not bold. I find myself maybe out in public places, whatever, man, I have to stir up the gift of God within me to be bold. Somebody said, well, Pastor White, man, you just walk into like a school board meeting or you'll just go into one of them political meetings or something and you just go in there and I just saw you and you just walked in, you just feel as comfortable as you can be. I was like, you don't know what's going on the inside. But I'm using the gift, the anointing of God to stir up, because one of the things he'll give you is boldness. And it's not just in a church setting. He'll give you boldness wherever you need it. And the world needs you to be bold. You need to be bold about the things of God. How many find yourself stumbling across divine appointments here, especially recently, where maybe you see somebody you haven't seen for a while, and the opportunity presents itself that conversation could very much go toward God. I walked into a voting place not very long ago, not realizing I couldn't vote there because it wasn't a school board election for our town. And before I left that place, man, me and them three poll workers are all just having us a revival. We're talking about heaven. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Bible, to the point where one of the poll workers was moved with such emotion she began to weep. Must have been divine appointment. It was just them three and us, me and the Holy Spirit. He was probably there with them before I got there, but he wasn't stirred up. They weren't allowing him to come forth. You say, did you just walk in there to just preach Jesus to them? That right there? No way. I didn't want him thinking like that. But as I went in there, it just happened. Because in case you haven't figured it out, I don't stop being a Christian when I release you here in a little bit. You can find me any day of the week, and you can find any other born-again, Spirit-filled believer any day of the week, any time of the day or night. We'll preach a gospel at the drop of a hat, and if you won't drop it, I will. I just love to talk about Jesus. He's real. He's my best friend. He's the love of my life. He is my life. I wouldn't be here without him. And I mean that in every sense of the word. He said, well, I don't have a testimony where, like, he spared my life from, like, certain death. Yes, you do. You were going to hell. And hell is real. And heaven is real. You were going to hell, and if you're born again, you're now going to heaven. You don't get any more death to life testimony than that. But you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Go to Matthew's gospel. We're going to wrap this up. Sharon, will you hand me that bottle of water? My throat is dry. And you know what? When you're dry, when you're thirsty, You know what you should do about it? How about drink deeply? If you're thirsty, the best thing to do, get a drink. Are you spiritually thirsty today? Get a drink. Where do you suppose I ought to get a drink from? How about the source of living water? Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Holy Spirit. That's the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John, if you need to look with your eyes. If you're thirsty, get a drink. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said this in the 13th verse. You are the salt of the earth. How many know he's talking to those who had followed him and were hungering and were listening and engaging? He goes, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer, I'm going to say it this way, while unsalty, it's no longer fit for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Let me tell you what happens when you try to share your religion with people. They're going to disrespect you and run you over. You want to know why? Because there's no power in it. There's no salt in it. If I see people around me, how many of you think everybody ought to just be thirsty for God? And I mean, we ought to stay thirsty. Stay thirsty for Jesus. I think everyone ought to be passionately thirsty for Jesus. But I can look around me and I'm going, they aren't thirsty. And I'm not judging people. I didn't condemn them. I observed the fruit or the lack of fruit on the tree. And I said, something's not as it should be. I'm not condemning anyone when I look at their life and evaluate what's going on. How am I going to pray for people if I'm so afraid that I'm judging them? Judge not, lest you be judged. Let me correct your theology a little bit. Condemn not, lest you be condemned. That was so simple. Jesus said this in the 7th chapter of Matthew. He said, you'll know all men by their fruit. Evil men don't produce good fruit, and good men don't produce evil fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. So when I look at someone's life, I can tell, are they thirsty for God? What time do they get to church? When do they come? Oh, Mother's Day and Easter. Yeah, they're thirsty like I used to be. I mean, no, that's not very thirsty. But boy, I'll tell you something. When I would come to church on Mother's Day and Easter, and sometimes maybe at Christmas, back when I was that kind of thirsty, sometimes in the spring especially, I would find myself thirsty because I would hear these big horns in my community going, woo! And people would be driving 70 miles an hour down the road, running to the tornado shelter. And I all of a sudden found myself thirsty. Come on. I wasn't salty. I look around me and I say, man, people aren't thirsty for God the way they should be. Well, if I'm salty, how many of you know if you taste something salty, you're going to get thirsty? If they're not thirsty, it's because we're not salty. If we will live the life filled with the Spirit and overflowing like Jesus wants us to do, they'll look at us and go, I want the peace that I can see hanging on you. I want the joy that I can see you walking in. I want to know that when my head lays on the pillow, that if the next time I open my eyes, I'm face to face with Jesus, I want to be glad to be there. I want to know that I know that I know. Well, in order for them to have that kind of thirst and hunger, the church, look at somebody close to you and say, he's talking to you now. The church has to be salty. Part of the reason why the world has been so not thirsty for the things of God is because there are a whole large portion of the body of Christ that does not have the salt that comes from the flow of the Holy Spirit. Anybody ever get sea salt? Where does that come from? Out of the sea. The tide comes up, it gets collected in little pools. The tide goes back down, the sun dries it out. They come out there and rake it up, sea salt. It comes out of the water. We need the water of the Word, and we need the flow of the Holy Spirit to be salt. Amen. Because if salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
If salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out. Can I say it to you this way? If I lose my ability to affect change in others, that's salt. If I lose my ability to be a preservative in the world, an agent of change, how many of you know if you get a wound and you doctor it with salt, it helps it heal? You ever get a sore in your mouth, just get you some salt water and swish it around in there, you know. You can even mix up salt water and suck it up your nose. It helps kill bacteria and stuff in your sinus passages. But if salt can't promote change, if salt can't bring healing, if salt doesn't preserve, then salt's lost its purpose. He didn't say you're the sugar of the earth. Everywhere you go, people love you, but gives them tooth decay. He said you're the salt of the earth, but you've got to be salty. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think you or I, either one, can be salty without the Holy Spirit. Are you as salty as you believe you need to be? I bet I can answer for all of us. Not really. But here's the question I really want to get at. Are you salty? We could all be saltier. Admit it. Yes, I could be saltier. But you're not going to be saltier by human effort. You need to get that straightened out. You're not going to get saltier. You're not going to be a better Christian simply by human effort. If you're going to be an agent of change, it's going to be because the agent of change lives in you. Amen. Maybe someone's today, you say, well, I'm salty, but I'm not very salty. Or maybe someone's listening to me and they say, you know what, I believe in Jesus. That's good. It's a good start. That's far better than going, I don't believe in Jesus. But you could say, I believe in Jesus from now until the time you face eternity and still split hell wide open because the devil believes that Jesus exists. The question is, do you belong to Jesus? Yeah, I belong to Jesus. Do you talk about your relationship with Jesus on a frequent basis with other people? Does it show? Does it shine in you, on you, and through you everywhere you go? I don't know. Then you need more. And the more that you need is the Holy Spirit. Amen. If your life is perfect, then I strongly suggest you just keep doing exactly what you've been doing. But if there's room for improvement, I strongly suggest you go get with the one who can make some changes and allow him to adjust things. And one of the things that probably needs to be adjusted in most Christians' life is the intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Jesus that you know of from Scriptures because of one thing, and that's because of his intimacy with the Holy Spirit. He's the Son of God. He did miracles. I agree, and that's two separate things. He said himself, it's not me who does the things that I'm doing. It's the one who's living inside of me, the Father living inside of me by the Holy Spirit that does the miracles. He said, the words I speak, they're not even my own words. I speak what he tells me to speak, how he tells me to speak it. That's what Jesus said. You ever notice Jesus was always getting up before the disciples, going out while it was still dark? Or he sent them on and getting a boat. I'm going to go up on the mountain and pray. What's he doing? He's getting refilled. Jesus is getting refilled. If you're not taking time to check out, church is wonderful. I like church. I enjoy church. I've never been a time I didn't want to get together with God's people, God's word, God's music. I like church. But if the only time I focus on the things of God is in this building, I'm going to be pretty bland. You have got to get intimate with the Lord out there in your own time, in your own space. And keep doing it until it becomes your life. Because without it, you're not salty. And without salty, you don't have a purpose. Amen. The apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So much so that they all spoke in other tongues. Men, women, and children all spoke in other tongues. The people gathered around heard them. Didn't matter where they come from, they heard them. And they said, we hear them all glorifying God in our own languages. That was supernatural hearing and supernatural speaking. Shortly thereafter, the apostles go to the temple one day, and there they find a lame man who's lame from birth, Peter and John. And they said, look at us, and we'll got something for you. And the lame man looked, expecting to get a little money. And Peter said, silver and gold, I have none. But what I have, I freely give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And then Peter doesn't just go, did it work? Peter reaches down in Holy Spirit boldness, takes that man by his hand. How many of you know the Holy Spirit went from Peter into that man at that moment? And he pulled him up to his feet. And the man began to walk and leap and praise God. Miracles started happening through the apostles. You know what it got them? Trouble. Here come the same people that crucified Jesus, said, you can't talk about this Jesus. You be quiet. Don't tell that anymore. And they threatened them. They threatened their lives. They threatened them. They arrested them and kept them overnight. For all Peter and John knew, they'd be on a cross the next morning. But that wasn't God's plan. When they threatened them and threatened them, said, you do not speak anymore in this man's name. They prepared to let him go. And Peter and John answered and said, you tell us, is it better to obey God or you? We cannot help but speak that which we have seen. In other words, you can mandate all you want to, but we're going to follow Jesus. I'm going to tell you where you get that kind of fearless boldness. All you got to do is think about this. On the night Jesus was betrayed and crucified, Peter did his best to try not to deny Jesus. He followed along when others didn't. But there in the courtyard, when he looked across at Jesus, a servant girl, a teenager, said, you're one of his followers, aren't you? And he goes, I am not, because he was afraid. Pretty soon someone else said, well, I think you are a follower of Jesus. You have the same Galilean accent he has. And he denied it emphatically. And then a third time, someone comes to him, a servant, young girl again, says, I know you're with him. I saw you with him. And he calls down curses upon himself to deny that he knows Jesus. And at the same time he said that, the rooster crowed and Peter ducked his head. Jesus looked across the courtyard and Peter went out and wept bitterly. But then Pentecost came. Peter stood up and preached and 3,000 people got saved. And here Peter goes to the temple, flowing over with the Holy Spirit. Same Peter that denied him, but now he's anointed with the Holy Spirit and he goes and he's healing the cripple and preaching boldly to the same people that crucified Jesus. You want that kind of salt in your life? Well, you're not going to get it just by reading your Bible. Renewing your mind with a Christian education is a wonderful, powerful thing. But it doesn't bring about that kind of saltiness. There are a lot of theologians that need to back up and come with childlike faith and receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit so they'll have the power of God to go with all that knowledge. Amen. If you have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and you know you have, would you raise your hand right now? Or you say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I've received this gift of the Spirit or not. Well, I can tell you this. If you have, you know. I mean, you know. How do you know? You know. But you know what has happened sometimes? People receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they go along for a while, and things change in their life. Circumstances happen, things change, they begin to wane away. Someone was going through something a while back and I said, are you praying in the Spirit frequently? And they looked at me and I said, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes. I said, you've been praying with your Spirit lately? Not really. You see, the devil wants to take that away from you. If he didn't hate it, he wouldn't oppose it. If he wasn't afraid of it, he wouldn't try to make you stop. Amen? Well, mine don't sound like yours. Well, the Frenchman don't sound like the Chinese man either, but that doesn't bother him. See, when I pray in the Spirit, it don't sound like any language I ever heard. Have you heard every language, including the tongues of angels? Well, it changes. Good. I would hope to think that a river's flow would change, sometimes quicker, sometimes slower, sometimes wider, sometimes narrower. I would hope that if it's a flow, that it doesn't just flow all the single time and it sounds the same every time. You're not a robot. Am I taking away some excuses here? Anybody ever have these kind of thoughts? Yes. Well, then take that as a confirmation. God wants me praying in the Spirit. Amen. But if I'm praying in the Spirit, I got to receive the Spirit. Today you say, you know what? I need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The apostles, when they received on Pentecost later on, they asked the Lord to fill them again, and he did. And when he filled them, there was such a power release that not only were they filled again, just like at first, but the literal place they were filled up in shook. The whole place had an earthquake and shook from the power of God shaking them. And it shook the earth. God wants to shake the earth through you and me and us. But if we can't let him shake us, we sure aren't going to shake anything. You say, I've never received this. How do I do it? Well, according to the Bible, you just ask. So I'm going to lead you in a quick prayer of asking, and I'm going to teach you how to receive. If you need to receive, pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, your word says that you will give me the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's your will for me to have it. You told me to ask. So, Father, I'm asking you to fill me with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking out in other tongues. I'm asking you for your Holy Spirit power to come into me and transform me in Jesus' name. What do you say when someone gives you something? If you receive, would you just simply say thank you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many believe God hears you when you pray? I'm going to teach you like I teach little kids. The little kids, we just come in here, the place should be packed for little kids. I'd say, how many of you kids ever have trouble believing that God can hear you when you pray? They would be honest. Kids be honest. Does my hair look good? No, it looks stupid. Kids will be honest, whether you want them to or not. I say, how many of y'all ever have trouble praying, feeling like God can't hear you? And they raise their hands. And I say, how many of y'all think if you came up here and start saying a bunch of potty words, God would hear you? And they go, ooh. Well, if God can hear you say potty words, and he doesn't want to hear you say, you ought to believe that he can hear you say faith words that he does want to hear you say. So here's my suggestion to you. You prayed and you received. Amen. Now, go somewhere where the one who is the most intimate God that could ever be imagined can be alone and intimate with you. And get away where nobody can hear you. Maybe that'd be in your car. I don't know. Jesus talked about praying in a closet. But wherever I've got to go to get alone with God, I'm going to go get alone with God. And you know what Paul said to Timothy? He goes, son, you need to fan into flame the gift of God that's in you through the laying on of hands. Maybe I turn on worship music. Maybe I don't. What do you feel prompted to do? Do it. You can't be salty without that. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.